Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show. Hello and good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour. It is Tuesday, October 10th. Also happens to be my sister Amy's birthday. So happy birthday, Amy, if you're listening. It's also Brett Favre's birthday. Brett Favre was born on this day as well. And he's 48. I don't know exactly how old my sister is, but see, 9 years younger than me. Do the math. I'm not going to do the math on the air. I'm just going to skip it altogether. All right, here's something that kind of amused me. A Virginia man really knows how to sweep his wife off her feet. He and his wife won the North American Wife Carrying Championship in Maine. It's an actual competition. The annual contest requires husbands to carry their wives on their backs or shoulders as they trek through an obstacle course. The course includes log hurdles and a mud pit called the Widowmaker. That's where a lot of competitors get weeded out at that point. Anyway, Jake and Kirsten Barney from Lexington, Virginia, won the competition on Saturday. The prize was 12 cases of beer and a $630 cash prize. They now qualify for the World Carrying Wife Championship in Finland. Good luck with that. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded." I bet there was a certain wind in the ark as well. But maybe if you're in the middle of a storm, maybe today is the day that those winds have receded and you can get on dry ground. I pray that if you're going through something difficult today, that God will be meeting you and providing that those waters to recede if you're in the middle of a storm. We think about you. We pray for you. We love you. We just know that every day here at Faith Radio, our listeners are what we focus on and care about. We want to bring you God's hope and mercy and inspiration and encouragement and his word every day. Okay? 6 minutes after the hour, I'm going to talk to an inventor when I return. There is a cliffhanger. It's 6 minutes after the hour. Welcome to the show. Be back in a minute. Good morning. Welcome back. You know, we've got at Faith Radio our ministry spotlight partner, and that this month is The Shoe That Grows. There are over 300 million children who do not have shoes and countless more with shoes that don't fit. Sometimes they receive donations of shoes. These are kids. You know how their feet grow. And my guest this morning decided he was going to do something about it, and we're excited to talk to Kenton Lee. He's on the studio line. Good morning, Kenton.
Good morning. This is going to be fun. I'm excited to chat.
You have such a cool story. I'm not kidding. Let's start by telling our listeners your trip to Nairobi or Kenya when you were a missionary and you saw that pretty little girl in the white dress with shoes that had the toes cut out.
So it was right after college for me, and I was living at this small orphanage. And in my first couple weeks there, we were all walking to church one Sunday. And as I walked, I looked down next to me, and there was this little girl in this white dress, and I just remember being shocked at how small her shoes were. I mean, just way too small for her feet. And so I had this idea, what if there was a pair of shoes that could adjust and expand their size? What if there was a pair of shoes that could grow? It just seems like it would make sense for this little girl and for the other kids, and who knows, maybe other kids around the world too.
You know, Kenton, that shoe already existed because it was the shoe my mother bought me, but I had to wear 5 pairs of socks for the, you know, and then each month I would take back 1 pair of socks as my feet were growing.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. We just thought we'd try to improve it, you know, just a little tiny bit.
Well, talk about what some of the problems kids face in that environment when they don't have shoes.
There are 3 main things. So the first is health. Often there's a lack of adequate sanitation mm-hmm. where the kids live, and so they're literally getting diseases that are entering their body through their feet because they are just in the ground and in the water around them. The second thing is school. So in many areas, it's cultural to have a mandatory school uniform, and shoes are a required part of that school uniform. So if you don't have shoes, you literally, you can't go to school. And so shoes really equal education for many of these kids. And then finally, it's just kind of a dignity, self-confidence kind of a thing. If you have your own pair of shoes and a pair of shoes that fit, it just makes life better. And so we are so excited to try to get as many pairs of the shoe that grows to as many kids as need them around the world as we can.
Now, you probably don't want to talk about yourself too much, but let's talk about the idea that got hatched in your brain and what you went about doing and what you produced.
So I'll say first, this is the only idea I've ever had.
Cool.
I am not I'm not a engineering, science kind of a mind. I mean, really, the Lord put this idea in my head. And then from there, once we had the idea, it took my friends and I 6 years to create this. A lot of rejection, a lot of ups and downs. And then we didn't know a thing about shoes, so we were just kind of learning on the fly. But 6 years to create it, we made a first batch, and those shoes lived in my guest bedroom. And then about 2.5 years ago, we accidentally went viral. And since then, we've distributed over 100,000 pairs of shoes to kids in over 90 countries.
That's just, it's fascinating, Kenton, and I'm with you. I'm kind of a one-trick pony myself, so it doesn't take much, but God has laid this thing on your heart and this creation of this shoe. And I want to already alert our listeners as to where they can go see this shoe. Is it theshoethatgrows.org? Would that be the place to go look at it?
That's the best spot, theshoethatgrows.org. Yep.
Theshoethatgrows.org. Talk a little bit about Ludi's story, this 12-year-old girl from Haiti.
So she was just a fantastic girl that I got to meet in Haiti when I was there about 2 years ago. And she had kind of all the issues that we talk about a lot. And it's heartbreaking to see kind of a statistic kind of take shape and take life. But that's what Ludi was. She had been sick because of a disease that had entered her body through her feet. She also could not go to school certain years because she didn't have shoes. And even when she had shoes, she told us how far she would have to walk to get to school. And it was just a crazy distance.
It's 5 miles.
A little under.
Yeah.
It was just nuts. And so, and then when we were able to give her a pair of shoes, I mean, she just lit up. Just an amazing young girl. And we like to say that we know our shoes don't solve every problem.
Mm-hmm.
Ludi still has challenges. You know, other kids that we distribute shoes to, they still have challenges. But we like to say that our shoes are a small thing that makes a big difference. It didn't solve every problem for Ludi, but you could just tell this is going to make a big difference for her to have a solid, sustainable, durable pair of shoes to protect her feet and help her be in a little better position to succeed.
Well, Kenton, I can confidently say I have 29 pairs of shoes, and they haven't solved any of my problems.
Not yet. Maybe you need one more. Who knows?
Well, but seriously, I mean, when you give a child like this, and they have a pair of shoes, and they have to walk 5 miles to school, that gives them a sense of confidence. That gives them a sense of I can attend school. I can have dreams. I can have a more of a life. This is a huge deal.
You know, and something else we're excited about, we started to just recently provide these little bags with our shoes. The bags are made in Uganda by a couple of awesome women. And these bags, we're starting to have people who take the shoes write messages on these bags and draw pictures. And it's a great activity for kids in Vacation Bible School and churches and things like that. And the whole beauty of it is we want these kids who are receiving the shoes to know that somebody cares about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone cares about them so much that this organization, you know, specifically designed a shoe to help them. And here's this great little bag with a personal note that just says, we care about you. And then hopefully all of this can point to, you know, Jesus caring about them. That's our big goal. But yeah, we just want these kids to feel like someone's in your corner keep on going. You know, we believe in your future. We want you to stay healthy because you can do amazing things. We want you to go to school because you are going to learn amazing things and go make a difference. You know, we really want kids to feel that, and it's been so fun to work. We actually have gotten to work with over 800 different distribution partners, and so many people out there care about kids. And we just feel like we're providing maybe a little better resource for them to give to these kids that they care about.
Well, Kenton, you think about the way we wear shoes in this country, which we have on every day, and they're nice and protective. And, you know, heaven forbid we step in anything gross. I mean, the first thing we do is maybe take them out to the garage and wash them in hot water or throw them away because we're so disgusted. But this is the environment that they live and walk in every day, and some of these sweet, dear kids don't have any shoes to wear.
It was eye-opening to me when I went to Kenya and lived there for about 6 months. I remember running around. I live in Idaho. I remember running around as a kid in Idaho barefoot in the summers, and it wasn't really that big a deal. But, I mean, for these kids, they live in a dirty and a dangerous context. I mean, it really is, whether it's these, human and animal waste that's in the ground around them, or even just, I mean, trash and broken glass and, you know, just difficult terrain. And I mean, there are just a horde of issues that the kids face when they don't have shoes or have shoes that don't fit. And that's the other challenge of it. And I almost kicked myself. I didn't realize this when I was in Kenya. It took the director of the orphanage kind of explaining to me, because I didn't have my kids at that time. I have kids now, and I had just maybe forgotten. But he said, you know, even when we can get the kids' shoes from donations or whatever, their feet grow so quickly. Mm-hmm. So even if we can get them shoes, you know, 6 months, 9 months, a year down the road, we're back in that same position where they've got on shoes that don't fit or they're just not wearing them at all anymore. And so, yeah, it really was just this little idea that I had and kind of became a passion project for me. And we've been so excited to see the Lord just keep pushing it forward. And so now we just have a great team here. We're getting shoes out there, and we're trying to continually improve the shoes too. We're trying to make them better and better so they can just be a better resource for these kids.
All right, Kenton, I'm all fired up. I need to take a break, though. When I come back, let's continue this conversation. I'm speaking to Kenton Lee, and that's the shoethatgrows.org. Be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 20 minutes after the hour. So glad you joined us this morning. I'm having a fascinating conversation with Kenton Lee. He is the inventor of the shoe that grows. And Kenton, hey, guess what I just did during the break?
Uh-oh. What'd you do?
Guess what I did. I got online and donated.
Hey, we love it when people do that.
I just wanted to see how easy it was. And it was really easy.
How was it? Oh,
yep.
Good. And guess what? I call every single donor, so I will be calling and leaving you either a voicemail or having a short conversation.
No, we're having it right now. I don't want any more calls.
Yeah, I'll say, if this is okay, I'll just let this suffice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is good. This is good. We're good. All right, let's talk about how people can take action, what they can do. And let's say I'm going on a missionary trip, and I'm going to head over there to some mission field. Can I get a whole bunch of shoes to take with me?
Yes. That's the first thing that we ask people is, you know, do you work with kids? Are you going anywhere soon? So about 75% of our shoes get to the kids by people taking them on the airplane and hand delivering them to the kids they work with. So we love that. Our shoes are just $15, $15 a pair. Mm-hmm. And we have lots of tools and tricks for fundraising and helping groups do that. But yeah, we love it when people take shoes with them. And again, they're able to hand deliver those right to the kids who need it most. So if you're traveling, let us know. We'd love to talk about your trip and see when it is and what we could do. And even if you don't travel, even if you're not going to Africa or Nicaragua, you know, anytime soon, you can help just like what you did, sponsor shoes through your donations. So you can sponsor a group that you know, like maybe there is a missionary that you support or something like that. Or you can even just go to our website and find groups that we have posted who are going on trips, and you could sponsor them. So those are kind of the two main things. And I'll say that we actually don't distribute any shoes ourselves. We feel like we don't want to recreate the wheel. Mm-hmm. There are lots of great people, lots of great churches and groups that are working with kids, and we just want to connect with them and help them get the shoes to the kids they work with. So we really rely on connecting with groups that work with kids. And for any of your listeners, we would love to talk to you. TheShoeThatGrows.org, you can get a hold of us, and we'd love to learn about the kids that you're serving.
Well, Ken, it's really exciting to think that that if I take a missionary trip and I've got like a duffel bag full of shoes, that when I show up and I meet these kids, I can actually give them something that they're going to, A, be excited about, they're going to fit, you know, with a little bit of adjustment, and they're going to walk away really happy versus having a bunch of shoes that may or may not work for the kids that you show up with.
That's been one of the things we didn't even think about, actually, as we created these. We've had lots of mission trips that have taken shoes before, maybe just, you know, gently used kind of donations of shoes. But that's one of the challenges. When they get there, they don't often, you know, often the shoes aren't fitting on the kids. They needed certain size, you know, this, and but they brought certain size that. And so it's just a challenge. But with our shoes, they grow five sizes. They're able to adjust. And essentially, any kid age 4 all the way up to a men's size 11.
Wow.
So from age 4 up to men's size 11, I even wear them myself every day.
Nice.
We can fit those feet. And so we love it. We love it when groups take these shoes, because it makes, again, a small thing that makes such a big difference for these kids. And something we actually like to say is it's a foot in the door for the gospel as well. So, you know, when these groups are taking shoes, it's often, you know, in conjunction with the ministry that they're doing or with the church that they're working with in these other areas. And we love it when we hear stories of these shoes opening doors to talk about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's one of our big motivations with all of this.
Yeah, you said foot in the door, and I know you meant shoe in the door.
You know, you got me.
I don't want to sit and be correcting you every 2 minutes, Kenton, but here, it's my job.
Hey,
all right,
I'll take it. I need some correction.
What I want to say to our listeners is go on theshoethatgrows.org. Just go on with an open mind and just go look at some of the pictures of these little feet sticking out of shoes, which are pretending to be shoes, impersonating shoes. But they're really, I don't know, like strips of leather kind of stuck together, and the foot is just sticking out of them. It breaks your heart.
It does. And really, these kids are resourceful. They're awesome. I mean, they're great kids, and they just want to learn and grow as a kid should. And so, again, we just want to give them a little better resource to help put them in even just a little better position to succeed. That's what it's all about for us, putting these kids in a better position to succeed. And hey, if we can do that through a pair of shoes, I'm happy to get up in the morning and work as hard as I can to make that happen. And we'd love for your listeners to partner with us as well.
Yeah, I get that. And we just have about a minute left, Kenton, but I would love to have you speak to us about just the entrepreneurial spirit you had. And when God laid something on your heart, you took action. So I'm excited about that too.
You know what? I prayed a dangerous prayer. I said, Lord, my life is yours, and whatever you want me to do, I'll try to do it. And I did not think he would take me down this road. Mm-hmm. I did not think he would take me to Africa. I actually did think I would stay in Africa the rest of my life once I was there. I didn't think I'd come back home. But each step of the journey, it was just following what I felt like God was putting in front of me. And it was just saying yes to that next step. I didn't have the full picture. I didn't know this would be my full-time job. And, you know, we'd have a team of people and we'd be getting this many shoes out there. It was really just a step-by-step journey. And I wanted to say yes to God. Mm. And so I don't even know how I got here sometimes, but I know that he's right there with me. And I'm excited for whatever that next step is going to be.
Yeah, the world needs more Kenton Lees. That's what I say.
I don't know if my wife would agree, but you know what?
Well, let's stay in touch. Let's talk again maybe towards the Christmas time if there's a project you've got going on around the holidays, and we can just be reminded of the good work you're doing and maybe get an update.
Deal. Thanks so much.
You bet, Ken. Thanks so much. Kenton Lee, founder of The Shoe That Grows. Go to theshoethatgrows.org. Check that out. That's really a powerful story. It's 27 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. We've got coming up at 20 minutes to Ron Deal talking about the blended life family, something like that. I always get that mixed up. Be back in a minute. Good morning. It's half past the hour. We're going to take a little break for news. Then Ron Deal is going to be with us from Family Life Blended. We want to talk about reaffirming a family's trust in God. We certainly have been rattled the last week, especially with the shooting in Las Vegas. We're going to talk to him a little bit on helping your kids cope in a very uncertain world and how we need to reaffirm a family's reliance on God. Be back in a minute. Good morning and hello. It's 23 minutes until the top of the hour. Thanks for listening today. Always love the fact that you've got us tuned in here at Faith Radio. If you are dealing with something difficult today, Carolyn Haas offers this reminder that God has not forgotten about you.
God is near to the brokenhearted, you know, and he's near to the humble. And I just think there's something about weakness in whatever form that it is, that just causes us to be desperate and cry out for God. We were not meant to do life alone. We're not meant to be isolated, but it's the blood of Christ that heals flows through the body of Christ. And yet we often, as Christians, we're isolated, we're lonely, we struggle alone, we feel shame that we even struggle. We think we're not supposed to struggle, like we have some wrong theology that says something's wrong with me if I'm having a hardship. And so instead we go to Jesus in our prayer time, or we go to a church service and we attend it, and we want the blood of Christ to be like in a squirt bottle. Do you know what I mean? That's like dispensed like hand sanitizer. And that's not how the blood of Christ works. It flows through the body of Christ, which is us. We're the body of Christ. And so that's why, you know, God calls to be planted in a church, in a family. You've got friends that you're honest with, that you're real, that you're authentic, that you can say, I'm struggling, I need prayer, I don't know what to do. And it's our friends that cheer us up, that stand with us, that help us, that do life together. And then what's super fun is we get to experience the miracle along with our friends. So it's not just about you experiencing healing. It's me praying with you. And now I can say, yes, that's my miracle too.
And God is near. And that was Pastor Carolyn Haas. You can go hear that interview in its entirety at myfaithradio.com. Ron Deal is next from Family Life Blended. We'll be back in a minute.
Life has a way of dishing out trouble, doesn't it? And if you're dealing with a struggling teen in your home, I guarantee your plate is full. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. In Romans 8, we read, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Sounds like a conflicting statement. Life dishes out trouble, and all things work together for good. How do we connect those dots? Let me suggest to you that the pain of dealing with a teen spinning out of control can lead to a new understanding of God's sovereignty. So yeah, life dishes out trouble, but all things work together for those who love God, no matter what's happening in your home. God promises that He's working there behind the scenes.
Find more help from Mark Gregston at ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
Good morning. It's 20 minutes until the top of the hour. Ron Deal is a regular guest and friend of the show. He's from Family Life Blended. And lately there's been a lot of, nerve-wracking news in that we've been dealing with, especially with the shooting in Las Vegas. And it certainly rattles all of us and has us talking to our kids and our grandkids about how we process this. So we want to also ask Ron Deal about that. Ron, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be back on the program.
It is always nice to have you on. You calm my jagged nerves, which from time to time can be pretty high in this business when you're always talking about things like the Las Vegas shooting. There's so much evil involved. And when you're trying to communicate what's gone on to your kids and grandkids, what's a good way to do that?
Well, you know, I've got some thoughts I want to share with you, but let me just springboard off of the interview. I caught the tail end of the previous interview you had, and she was talking about how even within the body of Christ, we feel ashamed because we're struggling with something, and no, we really should turn toward the body of Christ rather than pull back or withdraw because of, you know, we're embarrassed or ashamed of what we're feeling.
Amen.
This, the exact same thing takes place with parents and children. The same dynamic takes place. See, parents get anxious when their kids get anxious. Mm. And what we, one of the first things we tend to do is to try to squash the anxiousness in our children. And how do we do that? Well, we say, it's not that bad. Don't worry about it. It's okay. That's not you. That was Las Vegas. That's not here.
Mm-hmm.
And we throw kind of pat answers at it. And it really what it is we're anxious because they're anxious and we don't want them to feel anxious. And so we want to squash their anxiety and ours all at the same moment. And all that does, just like the observation about people in the church, is marginalize our kids from us. What we need to do is be a safe place, a respite where they can talk about that. We can hug that. We can say, yeah, you know what? I'm feeling that too. I'm feeling a little anxiousness in my heart too.
Mm-hmm.
I've got questions about this also. And so, you know, you're like me, we're together. That's the statement.
Mm-hmm.
You're like me and we're together. I'm here with you. Now just listen to the power of that. Really, the child is anxious, and what is needed most, more than anything, is a sense that they're not alone, and
mm-hmm.
that somebody who is bigger and stronger and more powerful is there with them. This is exactly what God says to us in Scripture over and over and over when he says, I am with you, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Find your courage, move into the future, whether it's Joshua and they're getting ready to take the land in Joshua chapter 1, or it's Hebrews 13, and you're anxious about money and provision, and God says, hey, it's okay, I'm here, I'm with you, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That is what calms our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what says to us, okay, yes, there's things going on in the world, but I'm not alone.
Well, Ron, let's talk about Philippians 4, 6, and 7, when somebody would say, well, you got to believe Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking with a thankful heart. And I believe that with all my heart and soul. But what about showing vulnerability and saying to your child or grandchild, you know, gosh, this does create a little bit of anxiousness for me because of what's going on in the world. It's a scary place.
It is a scary place. And so what we do is we join them in the anxiety just to say, you're normal. It's okay. You don't have to be ashamed that you're feeling anxious.
Okay.
I'm also feeling anxious. And then here's part two. Now we choose to trust God. I mean, that's essentially what God says when he says throughout Scripture, do not be afraid, I'm with you. He's saying, lean into me during these anxious times. He's not saying, stop being anxious, you're being a bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, I get it. This is hard for you. Come to me and rest in me. It's the same message of Psalm 23. It's the same message of Jesus. My burden is easy. Come with me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He's not saying that there's no reason for you to feel anxious. He's saying, lean into me during these times. And I think that's the same dynamic we want with our children. Whether they're little bitty ones, 4 or 5 year olds trying to figure out Las Vegas, what's going on,
mm-hmm.
or whether they're, you know, they're young adults, you know, everybody in times of anxiousness, just we want to reach out and feel like we're connected to something bigger than us. And that is ultimately at the end of the day, what God is inviting us to do with him. And I think that's the posture we want to take with our kids. Now we do have to talk through it. We do have to say, okay, here's what's going on. Here's what's not going on. Here's what that means for you. Here's what we're going to do as a result of, you know, something happening in Las Vegas or a school shooting or, you know, whatever it is. You know, we do have to get to those practical places. But the whole point of that conversation is to say, I'm here. You're not alone. We're in this together.
And Ron, that is part of your genius because you connected some nice dots there, because instead of just coming out with the verse that says, don't worry about anything, you acknowledge their anxiety. You acknowledge some of the feelings of uncomfortableness they might have. And then you connect them to our trust and our faith is in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really the important, if we could just call it the 1-2 punch.
I like it.
You know, that's really what we're doing. Now, there's a few details. For example, you know, how close is the precipitating event to you or to us? You know, if it's a, if it's something that happened in your community and you're talking to your kids about that, it's a whole lot more real than if it's something that happened on the other side of the world or the other side of the country. You know, last night there was a shooting in Lubbock, Texas at Texas Tech University. And my wife got a notification late last night. We have some friends and their daughter graduated high school with our son last spring. And she went off to college at Texas Tech just this past fall. And immediately we're alarmed, right? There's mm-hmm. a shooting on the campus. She's there. What does this mean? We're asking questions. We're looking for information. Well, that, of course we are. Right? We're anxious for her. We're worried about her parents. We want to know if she's okay. And so, you know, we start about this activity. That felt very real to us because we had an emotional connection to it. If your child has an emotional connection to something that's going on close to home, or now here's the other caveat, Bill, people need to understand. If your child has ever been through some traumatic event before that was personal, and here they are hearing about another thing, it may be the other side of the planet, but that is a reminder of something that did happen to them. Then the level of alarm, the level of anxiety goes up considerably. That's going to take more TLC, more yes. hugging, more talking, more close to the heart kinds of conversation. Again, not preaching, not telling you don't have to worry about it, get over it. No. It's, I get it. This is hard. Come here. Let's talk.
Mm-hmm. Ron, let me take a break, if I may. And then when I come back, let's finish that thought. And then also let's kind of also talk about your series of reducing cholesterol in the heart of your marriage. Would love another tip or two before we conclude the program. Speaking to Ron Deal from Family Life Blended. We'll be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 10 minutes until the top of the hour. I'm speaking to Ron Deal from Family Life Blended, and we're talking about some of the emotional trauma that kids can go through. And when they see another event similar to the one they went through, it could cause a little bit of flashback. And Ron, you're suggesting that we need to make sure we take a little bit more TLC with them, trying to calm down their anxiety and also point them to Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. At some point, you're going to talk with them, you know, and what does this mean to you? What are you thinking about this? And initially, a lot of people are asking the why questions. And long term, that's a question we come back to. Why did this happen? Why did God allow this to happen? How does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just skip to the punchline on that one. You know, the honest truth is sometimes we don't have an answer.
Right.
We can guess. But at the end of the day, more often than not, we don't know why things happen. We don't always see that. But I think it's different. You know, immediately when children are anxious about something, we need to shift them to the what. What has occurred? What has not occurred? Where did that happen? And what does that mean for you? It might mean that, you know, we're changing our schedule today because of some reason, of something that's happened in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And you explain that to children with as much detail as you can, because what you're saying is, we're on this. We're on top of this. We're here. We're guiding. We're protecting. You're safe. That's essentially the message of that. And then we ultimately shift the conversation to the who. Who are we going to rely on at times like this? And that's that moment we talked about earlier where we shift them back towards God.
Mm-hmm. Ron, I love your series on reducing cholesterol in the heart of your marriage. Where can we resume that conversation, and what are maybe some things that we should look at, pay attention to, or learn from?
Yeah. Number five that we haven't gotten to yet is just being flexible and adapting to life circumstances. You know, I think this is a grossly underestimated quality of healthy marriages. If you want to reduce cholesterol in your marital heart, on some level, with, you know, as life hits us, you got to adapt. Let me just give you an example of this. My wife and I just hit empty nest. Our youngest started college. Our oldest is out of the house. And, you know, we're having to adjust to life circumstances. When we had three little ones under the age of five, oh my goodness, there was a lot of adapting going on. When you hit the adolescent years, there was a lot of adapting going on. Mm-hmm. You know, changing roles in the house. Who does what? How do we get things done? What do I do as the husband? What does my wife do? You know, life is an evolving, you know, organism. We're moving this family through time, and people who are rigid in their approach to life, honestly, just end up hitting the wall at some point. It may work for you at one season of your life, but at the next season, it may not be functional. And people who just need to learn how to go with the flow and be willing to change their ideas of how things should happen, when it should happen, how do we get this done? Stubborn people have a lot of headaches from hitting their head against the wall. I think that's a really underestimated quality of couples who do life well together.
Okay.
And it's something to think about.
Yeah. So maybe there's someone listening and they're driving to work and they're going, oh, he's talking about my husband. He's so stubborn. Mm. How do I actually broach this with him and not have him go completely nuts?
You know, honey, I heard something on the radio this morning and it got me thinking.
Blame it on the guy on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I want you to do, because then that takes it, depersonalizes it a little bit, mm-hmm. Especially if you've had this conversation before and it gets a little awkward and defensive. I heard this guy on the radio this morning and it got me thinking about us a little bit. And I'd like to talk a little bit around how we can adapt to some of the things that we're dealing with right now in our life. Notice what I'm doing, Bill. This is not a, honey, you need to change, right? And I'm going to tell mm-hmm. you how you need to change. This is not a control moment. This is a dialogue about us. And I've learned something and I'm sharing that with you to see it, how you can help me figure out us.
Mm.
And so like you're inviting a cooperative dialogue there. Now, let me just say, best case scenario, the other person says, okay, yeah, I'm in for that conversation. Worst case scenario, they say, fine, you need to change. I'm not budging. That's a different issue. You know, that's okay. You really do have somebody who is deeply stubborn for one reason or another, and what that's all about, I don't know. I think probably what's needed at that point is a little bit different approach, and that would be perhaps something like, I have a need for us to talk through this. It feels to me that that something's not fair in our relationship, or it feels to me that I'm having to make a lot of changes and you're not. And again, my goal here is for you and I to have a stronger relationship as we approach life together. And right now it feels like we're disconnected and I need us to talk. That's a more direct, assertive approach, but it's still respectful
mm-hmm.
in its tone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Respectful in tone. That is the word of the day, the phrase of the day, because it's hard to start a conversation with, honey, you're stubborn and stuck in your ways, evidenced by the fact you still have an 8-track player in your car.
You know, if I came on your show today and started saying, boy, Bill, what are you doing? I don't know why you're doing this, blah, 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 and just knocking, you know, criticizing you. Well, man, that'd be the last conversation you and I had, right? You know, respect is so, so very important, even when you disagree with another person, because you keep it in the tone of, I'm not in control of you. I'm not trying to change you. I'm not the boss of you. I'm not being the Holy Spirit in your life. I am just being me, and I'm going to share with you my thoughts, my feelings in an assertive way. Mm-hmm. We can be assertive, but respectful. That's a nice balance.
Ron, I just got about 45 seconds left, but would you be more calm and less insulting if it didn't percolate for so long in your brain and you just came out with it right away? I mean, don't some people brew and stew over stuff?
Yeah, but let's just say in a chronic issue in a marriage, you've been brewing on it for a long time.
Okay.
It's hard not to be emotional at that point.
You got
to bathe that in a lot of prayer
before
you approach the other person. But here's the thing. I think sometimes people overdo it. They get over anxious because they anticipate the dialogue, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Hey, just be matter of fact.
Be calm.
Maintain yourself. That sets a good tone, a respectful tone, and it invites the other person to at least be calm as well.
Ron,
they may not be, but at least you're managing you.
Thank you so much for being on the program. Look forward to our next conversation.
All right.
It's Ron Deal from Family Life Blended. We'll take a short break and be back and wrap up the show. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. I will be with you tomorrow morning. Have a great day. God bless. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.